You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of January 13th, 2016. And Palmer Luckey just stole my money!
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I am George Alvor.
My name is Scott Chester.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. It is a very humorful conversation this week because we're talking about virtual reality.
Nothing more hilarious
than
virtual reality.
Last week, Oculus Rift announced, and then immediately, I guess 48 hours after they made the announcement, opened up pre-orders.
Oh, okay.
For
is that so they waited 48 hours?
I think it was there like 48 hours you'll be able to buy.
You can tell I haven't pre-ordered yet.
Yeah. There was a countdown with like a ticking clock.
Countdowns.
Dude, there's like countdowns now? It's absurd.
What do you think is going to be the first VR countdown? Have to put on the VR headset to see it.
I bet you it's like ARG. It's going to be some ARG.
Where you're walking around.
We have to like wipe away sand to like discover letters or some shit. I don't know. Anyway, we thought we would talk a little bit about virtual reality generally, but also the reaction that the relatively steep price point that was revealed to be $600 received online by a lot of people. A good number of people that I imagine never backed the $350 Kickstarter campaign to begin with.
Yeah, that'll teach you for not throwing your money at random pipe dreams.
As well as the sort of expectations that exist around VR, how they got to be and why they're there, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's start a little bit by praising Scott's prediction. I don't know if we got this on tape, we had a conversation about virtual reality, and I was like, yeah, I think it said something about how Palmer Luckey mentioned that they wanted it to be around $350, which I now admit was the assumption many of us on the internet made based upon Luckey's previous statements.
Yeah, I mean, he said some things publicly about what he wanted the price hopefully to be.
Your response quite explicitly was, nah, it's going to be much higher than that, probably $600.
That's a pretty good impression, by the way, how I usually say.
Well, I mean, this is what, like 363 podcasts in. I feel like we should swap one day.
It was my
I'll be curmudgeonly Scott.
My standard reaction is nah,
not going to happen. It was, in fact, $600.
Yeah.
I imagine you were not surprised.
Nah.
Were you surprised by the reaction to that announcement?
No, because people complain about everything on the stupid internet. Like,
also true. I mean, I was somewhat surprised. I mean, I guess I'm somewhat used to taking people's statements at face value. I don't know why. It's the games industry.
That
should have been.
We've been burned many times.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I think I was a little bit surprised because in my mind they were probably going to take I thought they were going to take a loss in order to.
I mean, I think they still might be.
That's true. They could be in order to support the Oculus store, create a good install base, and eventually get that price drop down to where the hardware was profitable.
Yep.
Not an uncommon tactic for hardware releases. That being said, as you also mentioned, after that conversation, you know, the PS3 launched at $600. Like, this isn't the first time a gaming or piece of hardware dedicated for gaming, but not necessarily exclusively for gaming, would be released at quite a steep cost.
The Panasonic 3DO was even more expensive than this.
I mean, what I find interesting is that even though this is nothing new, and people reacted vehemently against Palmer Luckey, they were quite angry, salty, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay, right? I mean, like you mentioned, the PS3 launched at $600, but eventually almost every household would have one, right? Like
After several price
drops, but that's the point, right? Yeah. Hardware changes and the price changes, and we can expect that a year, 2 years from now, the Rift will be a more affordable object.
Mm-hmm. I think, I know this sounds like maybe I'm just getting old and like becoming a Republican or something, but like,
oh God, please don't say that. That is the day we stop podcasting.
I guess that's true. maybe I'm just being like even more curmudgeonly, but it's the thing.
Vote Donald Trump.
Vote Trump, everyone. He's going to get an Oculus for every house.
Only the top 1%.
There's this weird thing. There's this weird reaction to it where like, the butthurt was so high that it makes you just kind of question, like, I don't know. What do you think you deserve? You know, like, what do you think you're entitled
what
to?
What did you fucking do? Right? Well, to I mean, earn like, this.
I am. I don't know. Like, I can't buy a 4K TV. You know, yeah. Like, I don't know. I can't get a Tesla. You know, like,
I will offer a theory. Right.
Yeah.
I think that until relatively recently, and certainly in the way that the Kickstarter for the Oculus Rift was promoted. And I think this is a strategic choice on the part of many people looking for funding, crowdfunding in particular.
Yeah.
But they almost necessarily have to frame something as like a populist movement. Like,
yeah.
You can't just get crowdfunding based upon the fact
that... I mean, crowdfunding is literally a populist
movement. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? But you can't have a successful campaign by saying, this is a pre-order, we're taking your money, we're putting it over here, and you're going to get this good. Even though that's what people expect, they need it framed in a way that sounds like you are part of this larger movement, you're this thing, we're all doing this together, right? The sort of feel-good attitude that some companies want to create between themselves and their consumers, right? So I think a lot of the reaction was, oh, we deserve this because we were part of this movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Even from people who supported the idea of VR but didn't back the Kickstarter in particular.
Well, I think that's the more... And I think Paul Merlucky is probably the lightning rod for all this stuff, but, like, democratizing VR. Like, he's come out and, like, talked a lot about, like, there will be a time when there will be, like, many different devices and everyone will have one. And, like, and I think that... To defend those people that were very angry, there is this sense that if this is like a huge groundswell social movement and I can't afford it, it's like, well, there goes the crowd. Like, you know, I'm not a part of it.
I think that's exactly right. Like, that is their reaction. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fear is that if Lucky is right and VR is the next big jump in immersive technology, and it's going to be, you know, the best, most interesting games are going to be on the VR. And I don't think that's true. But, you know, if you're buying into that.
Yeah. You could see how someone could believe that.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be priced out of it feels like an injustice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I also think that there are, like, historical things, like the launch of the iPhone and, like, the mass adoption of smartphones has primed people to understand when they might be seeing a sea change in an industry. Because, like, before the iPhone, it's like, what are you going to do, like, carrying a BlackBerry? Like, no one was doing that, right? But, I mean, like, when the iPhone first came out, I was like, man, there's no way I can afford this. Like, I couldn't afford an iPhone for, like, 3 or 4 years after the iPhone was out, you know? But that also doesn't mean that you're never going to afford a thing like the iPhone.
Right.
I mean, there's more Android devices out there than any other type of phone.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I think that similar thing will happen, but we're just at the point where people are now... They have seen what a transformational technology can do, and it's scary if you don't think you can get in on it, you know?
Welcome to the third world, motherfucker.
I mean, I guess but so.
Technology is not equitably distributed.
Yeah.
I also liked the point that you mentioned in between podcast conversations when we were still just discussing this, but you mentioned that a lot of people misunderstand the cost of hardware because they buy these phones, which are the, you know, the ubiquitous thing that a lot of people... You know, they get a new phone every year, either because they break it or they just want the new gadget.
Yeah.
But they get their phone costs subsidized by higher costs in their telephone bill.
I will say that, and even more specifically, Americans. Because that doesn't happen as much outside of America. And so I'd be interested to see the Oculus people from outside of America, like, what their reaction is.
Interesting.
You know, like, $600. Like, if you go to the store and try to buy an iPhone, it costs like $600. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's...
Well, for them, it's like 800 pounds or whatever. Fucking currency.
Kind of fucking communist money you have over there. So I think that's a good point. I mean, and perhaps there is room for some sort of subsidy. Like, if you're a Samsung... if you're a Samsung phone owner, you know, maybe you can bundle in a... what is it? Gear VR?
Sure,
That, you know, when you buy your new Galaxy, you can also bundle in a Gear VR for, like, a cheaper price or something like that. Like, you can see, like, some subsidies, which, by the way, is powered by Oculus technology, which is itself kind of strange.
Yeah.
You know, they are already walking the walk of, we're going to create cheaper devices and try to, like, saturate the market, even at the low end.
On that subject, do you think that the relatively steep price based upon people's assumptions will affect which VR system that they're waiting out for?
That's a good point. I mean, it might even affect mine. Like, I was thinking about, because, I mean, the other piece of the price thing, which I think actually is a kind of a behind the scenes reason why people are so pissed, is that for the majority of the people out there, getting an Oculus means getting a new PC.
Yes.
And like, that's not cheap, man. Like, you have to get like a 970 or a 980 to even run it minimum.
Yeah.
And it's like, that by itself is several hundred dollars, if not more. I mean, 970s are probably what, 500?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So like, you're probably going to be spending
more than the Rift itself.
Yeah. Especially if you need to get a new case, and you know, maybe you need a new CPU to drive that new
screen.
Exactly. So it's like, you're going to be in for like well over $1,000 if you haven't upgraded your PC within the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Such
as myself.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's another thing where it's like, well, at least I can count on the Oculus only being $300 to $400, so I could splurge on the 980. And then all of a sudden this like upsets the plans.
Right.
And so like, I can see that. And I sympathize with that because I need to upgrade my PC, but I've been waiting until kind of, I know if the Oculus sets things on fire.
Yeah, but you know? So, yeah, exactly, right? So one of the systems meant to go out June, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
So HTC, how does it pronounce? Vive?
The Vive.
The Vive?
Yeah.
Pre-orders for that.
That is also known as Steam VR.
Steam VR, yes. Yeah. So that's pre-orders for that, they announced, I think, this week, are going live in February.
Yep.
If the price was, say, $500, or if Sony announced that, hey, the Morpheus is going to be available for $450, $500, maybe even $550, I could see a lot of people saying, you know what, in this case, I'm just going to wait it out, pick up a different piece of VR hardware, right?
Yeah.
It's almost surprising to me that so much of the conversation is around Oculus, given how much competition there is and will be in the VR space.
Yeah.
Not all of them will survive. I think that's probably just reality.
I don't know. I had never really thought about that. I mean, we got different phone brands. They all do basically the same thing. I mean, but maybe they won't, because it is like a more niche thing. Right. Everyone's going to have a phone. Not everyone's going to have a
VR I guess is the issue, will this be the sort of Blu-ray versus...
oh, man, my HD DVD.
HD DVD. Like, pick up Oculus Rift at Goodwill for like $50.
It's like right next side, like some broken-ass Rock Band guitar or something. We don't actually take these anymore.
I saw someone selling a Dreamcast the other day at...
Wow.
A used bookstore.
A used bookstore?
Yeah.
Did you buy it?
No, because they were processing it, but I was like tempted. I was like, I should come back.
How much were they selling that for?
I don't know. They hadn't priced it yet.
You should have just said, I will pay you $10 to just take this away.
The person was already gone. I assure you, if I saw someone carrying in a bag, I was like, I'll give you more than they'll give you.
It's like,
how much do you think they got for a fucking Dreamcast?
I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, Dreamcasts are kind of niche, so I imagine they could. But that's the thing. Does the bookstore really know what a Dreamcast is worth? Like, more so than I do? Like,
well, they have a case where they've got like some locked up like old games.
Oh, maybe
so they have. Do So
maybe they could have.
Well, they had Metal Gear. Was it a Metal Gear? No, they have a Dungeons and Dragons game for, I think, the Master System.
Oh, man.
And a booklet. And they were selling that for like 50-something.
I mean, I could see that because Master System stuff is relatively rare over here. What were we talking about? we're talking about VR stuff. That's true, huh? Because like, they might not all survive. So the HTC... You know, I think the one that has the most danger of not surviving is PlayStation VR.
You really think so?
Because it's locked into a platform.
Yeah, but the difference, though, is that you've got a debt. I mean, I think ultimately it's going to live or die by the marketplaces.
Mm.
Like, what is the easiest way to consume media, right? At least PlayStation VR is built into a system where I already have a PS4 or whatever. Yeah. I'm going to be playing games on the PS4. So it makes sense for me to buy games on the PS4 and then just use my Morpheus or what have you for that purpose. The Steam Vive, what it has going for it is the fact that it's attached to the Steam marketplace, right?
Well, the interesting thing is Oculus has said that not all Oculus things will be solely compatible with the Rift.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, if that's the case, then every major publisher is going to want to hit at least two or three major pieces of hardware.
Yep.
And those people will not be able to hit PlayStation unless they develop exclusively for Sony. You know, but like,
for the people who are early adopters and they say, I'm going to pick up X number of games for VR, which hardware options that I have games that are optimized for that experience. So, you know, if you're going to buy
that's
five Steam games and Steam has optimized those for the HTC Vive and they've just sort of, here's your port for the Rift, are you going to buy the Rift because that was the first one on the market? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to say, well, I'll just pick up the Vive.
Right.
I know it's going to be compatible with anything they're selling on the Steam Marketplace. I mean, at this point, so Palmer Luckey said this year, the Oculus Rift will have over 100 titles.
Mm-hmm.
Steam already has over 150 VR titles mm-hmm. on the marketplace right now. I mean, many of them are probably early access games.
Yeah.
But the point is that they're already tried and true, or yeah. at least they're available on the marketplace. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, people have been backing up Valve for a long time. I think
yeah.
I think probably the recent events over the winter have changed people's perspectives on Valve.
Oh. You really think so? You think, like, caching stuff has, like, shaken people's... I mean, this is, like a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Not just that. I think that, you know, Valve hasn't really done anything to maintain their sort of brand integrity in a while.
Yeah.
Like, what is... You know, we haven't gotten a game in a while. It was sort of big news the other day because... The person writing the Half-Life series left.
Oh yeah,
left Valve.
Who's that? Like Mark? It's not Chuck. I forget which one.
Good old Chuck. Yeah. You know, there was the relatively. I mean, again, I don't think that this sours people on it, but I think it puts the company in perspective when they saw the estimated earnings that Valve made in 2015, which is something like, you know, many billions of dollars. So I don't know. Yeah. I could see trust in that faltering. But you know, imagine your friend picks up Oculus Rift and you're trying to decide what VR system to get, and you put on the Rift and you're navigating the Oculus Rift marketplace with your head pointing at it. And it's not a good experience. Uh-huh. All you can see is like shitty free to play games that are marketed towards children,
yeah.
right? And then you put on the Vive and it promises you access to a catalog of Steam games. Maybe fucking Half-Life 3 from Valve or whatever. I don't know, right? I could see how you could say, you know what? I'm going to stick to Steam. And I think if people go all in on Steam VR,
yeah.
I could see Rift having trouble keeping customers. Because once you reach like a certain critical number of all the early adopters, are they going to convince other people within a reasonable time frame to pick up an Oculus Rift for a $600 price point?
Yeah. Well, and also...
Keeping in mind that, again, you're targeting a PC market.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess my thought is that I am both kind of glad that Valve will have some competition as a marketplace.
Totally.
But I'm also scared that they're just another weird quasi-walled garden marketplace.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like you're going to have this Oculus store, you're going to have Steam.
And that's where people go.
You're
going
to have PlayStation, which is its own walled garden. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it's just.
But at least PlayStation isn't competing on the console space. Microsoft doesn't have a VR system yet.
Well, they have the. What's that thing they showed at E3 last year? The. It's kind of the AR lens.
HoloLens. Yeah. HoloLens. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to have something. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. There's just a lot of, like, different proprietary app stores, which is kind of gross, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Fun times, man. Wild West out here.
Yeah, it's... I mean, in a very real way, because just like they did in the Wild West, they just tried to fence off as much land as possible, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, like, that's really what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so it makes me somewhat optimistic that at least they're making motions towards being quasi-platform agnostic.
Who, Rift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Steam, like, clearly, like, you can play Oculus games on...
Yeah.
You know, you can play VR games on Steam.
But like, do you think that this is going to be another opportunity for exclusives?
Oh, yeah. Like, they already said there's going to be Oculus exclusives, like, meant to show the value of the platform and meant to adhere to standards that Oculus sets for software.
So fucking
and, like,
congratulations, everybody. It's another, like, platform. It's the fucking 90s again. You know?
The Grinch. Oh, man. The fucking Platform Wars 2.
Sure. I mean, that's the new opportunity because they're not pulling it off on consoles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the reason why the console wars have died down to some extent is because of the cross-platform stuff.
Right.
And maybe we'll see more of that, you know. I mean, there's still console exclusives like Mass Effect or Uncharted or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, like,
yeah.
There will be, you know, Lucky's Tale will only come to the Oculus Rift store.
How fucking weird is that, dude?
Oh, also, have you seen, it's a pun. It's a pun title. So Lucky's Tale, it's like a little fox. And there's a tail. Well, I mean,
it's spelled T-A-L-E.
Yeah, but there's a tail in the logo of it. So it's like Lucky's Tale.
Have you heard Science Break? Science Break! Have you heard of the simulated reality theory?
That we are a simulation.
That we are a simulation?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember a few years ago, they released some study that were like, we can
test if we're
we cannot conclusively disprove that we are not
a simulation.
A simulation.
So if you're, what if all of this Palmer Luckey is just like the simulation up.
Oh, he's like our Neo.
Yes. I mean, this is, goes back to our conversation about yesterday about Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like he's the cube up where Palmer Luckey's like, I'm going to make a fucking game about myself as a virtual reality people, you know?
Yeah.
VR is just our step towards our own creation of simulated reality.
I mean, there's plenty of Star Trek episodes about the holodeck becoming sentient. Like, that shit becomes sentient every other week.
The power brick, though, on that hardware, though.
I mean, that's, speaking of power bricks, we were doing a little research about the PlayStation, which, by the way, at this point, for me, it seems like maybe the PlayStation is the most viable thing to buy.
Yes.
You know?
My concern, though, is if it's not compatible with PC, and maybe someone will hack it so it is,
yeah,
I'm out of the loop on any number of weird experimental games.
I guess if you were anyone who wasn't us, who, like, you know, like, if I was telling one of my friends that didn't, like, nerd out about video games and just wanted a cool VR experience and, like, didn't have a crazy PC, didn't make podcasts and YouTube videos on the internet, I would say, yeah, you already have a PS4. You might just want to get that headset because you know it will work.
Yeah.
You have the controllers already. Like, I mean, it seems like a relatively safe system.
Absolutely, yeah. You know? How much do you think the Morpheus will cost?
Gosh.
Judging by your almost prescient prediction of...
I don't know. I mean, like, it has to be in the same neighborhood, I imagine. It's probably going to be a little bit cheaper because...
500?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe even something more like 300 or 400 or something, because, like, I don't think...
They hit 300...
But, like, I don't think you could... I don't think you could charge more for that thing than you're charging for the console.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that they'll have to price it pretty high. But then again, like, if you look at that stuff, I don't know. I doubt... I mean,
the hardware looks pretty comparable.
It does look comparable, but I think... I would be surprised if it's as fancy as the other ones.
Right.
But I just can't really see pricing that at higher than the console that it works for, unless it also works for a PC. If it works for a PC, then you can price it at whatever you want. But if it doesn't work for a PC, like, it'd be kind of weird to buy a PS4 for, like, I don't know, $350 or $400 and buy that thing for $600. Like, that's, I don't know. That'd be kind of weird.
This is my thought, right? Because I feel like we're at this precipice where...
We're going to lose all our money on VR?
Yes. Well, when we start our VR grifting campaign.
Oh, watch Twitter, children. This is
the issue is that we're at a point where if people don't pick this up, right? Like, VR is not going to be the Wii. This, my grandmother is not going to be...
Well...
I don't think she'll be buying, at least independently, this hardware.
Well, not this hardware.
Yes. Maybe in...
Give it 5 years.
But see, I think the issue, though, is that... In 5 years, will that have been too long to where it comes to a point where they say it's a gimmick, it's not relevant for the sort of necessary cultural experiences, right? Like, at some point, is it something that you show someone and they go, I mean, this is from the perspective of someone that believes in VR. Like, I've used it. I think it's amazing. It's instantly awesome and you get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I show this to my mom and she put it on and was like, wow, that's super cool. But it's $600, and so a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 years go by, 5 years go by. It's finally in her price point. Will she still say, wow, this is something I have to get? Or will she say, oh, this is another piece of hardware that is now irrelevant, just like so many pieces of hardware are irrelevant, right? Because that's what we're taught, right? We're taught that get a new phone every year because these pieces of hardware become irrelevant after a short period of time.
Yep. I will say that I like that could happen. Like, maybe we'll be on to the next thing. Like, maybe it will be AR rather than VR. Like, who knows? I would say, so I'll give you three.
Or R&R. Just relax.
That's just me. I'm going to sleep through this revolution.
I will give you up in 5 years.
I'll give you three anecdotes all about old people and technological changes. one is, like, my grandpa. One time told me...
You mean Grandpappy Juster?
Grandpappy Jarmelo, a.k.a. Grandpappy Jaramillo.
Okay.
Once told me the first time they got a color TV.
Okay.
That was a huge deal because...
Yeah. Tell me what he said in an old-timey voice.
I mean, he didn't really, like, go too old-timey with it. Oh,
man. Okay.
He was just more like... He said, you know, for the longest time, there was one person on the block with a color TV. Uh-huh. We could not afford a color TV.
And did everybody go to that person's house?
Yeah, they would watch TV, they watched sports and stuff. Like, there was a person that they knew with a color TV, and everyone else had black and white TVs, and that was just the thing. Eventually, they upgraded to a color TV.
Well, but...
like, that stuff doesn't go away, you know?
There's an important difference, though, right? And this is sort of what came up in our long-ago conversation about, like, Rock Band and stuff. Mm-hmm. The television is almost a necessarily public experience mm-hmm. in a way that VR is not. Like, you can go down the street in, you know, whatever, the 60s, 50s, mm-hmm. past the television display mm-hmm. at Macy's, mm-hmm. and watch a broadcast, mm-hmm. right? Like, we've seen that in countless movies. Mm-hmm. It's been in, like, Mad Men and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with VR. You can look at it from afar,
yeah,
but you can't put it on.
I will say that that problem doesn't really scare me too much because they're already doing things where they pipe out the visual of what is doing of yeah, what it's doing on TV.
Are any of those really that compelling?
I mean,
because what you see are two screens with a fisheye lens.
No, I mean, even like the PlayStation demos have show like the PlayStation.
Oh, you're the 2D experience.
Yeah, like it shows you what the person is looking at in 3D, or it lets you interact in a kind of asymmetric way where some people are doing one objective with controllers and another person is doing another objective with a headset. And you know, the other thing is, so here's the other thing that doesn't make me that scared about this. So like everyone, even though they couldn't afford something at first, eventually the prices went down enough and things were mass market enough that people could get a color TV. The second anecdote is just recently when the New York Times sent out the cardboard VR stuff So my grandmother got that.
Really?
She is in her mid-80s. Yeah. And she was like, oh, we got this thing in the mail. And I was like, oh, really?
And now I'm hacking the planet, well, Scott.
She doesn't have a smartphone. But I got my smartphone out, downloaded the New York Times app.
Oh, my God. I wish I could have been there.
Put it in the cardboard. And was like, check this out, Grandma. And she was like, oh. Like, she instantly knew. Instantly. Yeah. She was like, wow, this is really cool. And that was a piece of cardboard and a couple lenses and an iPhone 5.
Has she bought an iPhone 5 since?
No, she hasn't. But what I'm saying is she doesn't need a smartphone, but that immediately demonstrated in a very cheap way what the allure of VR is.
Right.
So like I think that's another anecdote. The third anecdote is even people that don't believe it will eventually come around. My mother-in-law didn't have a smartphone for up until what?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
like 6 to 9 months ago or something, and now she's on Facebook more than I am.
Yeah.
So it's like people will be extremely
much to your consternation.
People will be extremely fast to adopt technology, and they will instantly see a use case for something the moment they have the hardware, and the hardware will get super cheap, as is shown by that cardboard stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, something has to, like in the case of the television, right?
Things consider the TV.
Consider the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't have a color TV, and it's, let's say it's like the Vietnam War is fucking happening, mm-hmm. they're piping this color television experience, mm-hmm. right? There are things that are fundamental to the consumption of that thing. Like, it reaches a critical mass
mm-hmm.
of not only, like, cultural conversation, but the amount of products being created for that particular
mm-hmm.
form of consumption.
Yeah.
The question is, like, are we going to see news reports in VR?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see, you know, narrative fiction in VR? Yeah. Are we going to see films designed for VR?
Yeah.
And if so, are they going to be of quality enough to justify the people sitting on the fence or the people who were just experiencing VR for the first time to not just say, yes, I'm willing to try VR, but I'm willing to integrate VR into my world?
That was
in the way that, you know, they had for phones and they did for color television.
That was the cool thing about the New York Times app, because there was like, I don't know, there's like a handful, 10 or less, 10 or fewer like little videos, vignettes from the New York Times. And one was like you're riding around in a car. Another one is you're just sitting in a room while people are walking around having a conversation. So you're kind of like looking around and seeing them as they go. Another one was like a more impressionistic piece. So it's like they showed you the different styles of a VR experience you could have. I think the other thing that shouldn't be discounted is
pornography.
Did you see that video from CES?
No.
So VR porn is already a thing.
I'm sure it is. I mean, legitimately, I think that's going to be a major...
I mean, it always has been historically, like any media. But they put a Oculus on some guy, and
He's like, whoa, can I jerk off with this thing?
And put on, and like just put on a VR porn, and he just started laughing and like collapsed on the bed and was like, oh, oh God. Because like, it was first person. It was first person pornography. And he was just cracking up. It was the most hilarious thing to watch because.
Yeah. And then he started like unclasping his pants. It became a really awkward thing to watch.
Okay. So here's the thing. Besides porn, which actually kind of feeds into the point that I'm making is, so I don't think we can.
But when does porn not feed into the thing that you're thinking?
It's a latent thing. We shouldn't underestimate the allure of user of social and user driven content with VR.
Mm-hmm.
We just moved.
Give me an example, though.
So one of the first things Hanna and I did when we just moved is we walked around our new place with our phone and was like, hey, everyone, hey, relatives, here's our new place.
Yes. Yes. Bingo. Yeah, totally agree.
And so it's like the moment when my phone can capture VR video, even if I don't have a Rift, I can still capture VR video. Grandma, some of my relatives will never see my new place ever. Yeah. Like, you know, Hanna's grandmother will probably never visit our new place. But she will have a much better idea of what it is because of that video. And imagine if it was 3D.
Totally.
Like,
agree.
You could feel like you're there.
One of the first things that.
That's why Facebook pays billions of dollars for Oculus, by the way.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
that 100%. Is the reason. Yeah.
One of the first things I showed my family members with the Google Cardboard was the app that lets you be in Paris under the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great, if you were looking to demo VR, by the way, lovely listeners, or in real reality, to people who've never tried it before, I'd recommend it because, you know, Paris just sort of looks like a regular park under the Eiffel Tower. It's not even an especially pretty view. And you're sort of looking around, and then you see the legs of the Eiffel Tower, and you think, oh, is this the Eiffel Tower? Mm. And as your mind is registering that, you naturally look up, because that's what you do with the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And when you see the scale of that thing, even in the relatively shitty VR of, you know, your iPhone or whatever, it clicks, and you get that sense of like, whoa, I feel like I'm underneath the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
If you could do that with your own videos, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I could see that being worked into how people sell their homes.
Yeah.
For example, like, thinking about moving to California, let me give you a tour of my home.
Imagine Airbnb with this shit. Like, imagine, like, totally. Any of this stuff. Like, it's.
I can look for all of the ways I can break into your house while you're away.
Another Oculus Grift. Yeah.
Grift. Like, oh, my God.
God, this is going to be the best hashtag. I think that is why Facebook pays billions of dollars for this. And I think that. That's the other thing that, like, you can't predict how this stuff is going to go because the ability to produce stuff is going to just give rise to things that we don't even imagine.
Yeah.
But
by the way, when people are like touring my house in VR, I'm going to just put like fucking
jump
weird
scares?
Shit. Jump scares. I'm going to put like closets full of like fake dead bodies and stuff. It's going to be amazing.
Here's my doll head wall.
Yeah, here we go. Here's my huge collection of misery.
Yeah, but I do, I understand your point of like, it might be kind of a slow ramp until it like exponentially gets nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be some very strange early days because if people like us, like are still somewhat trepidatious about it, that means they're fighting an uphill battle.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? And so
I want to just mention that while maybe I agree with you now, I'm coming around where I think the chance is slim.
Mm.
This could go the way of, you know, 3D in that, you know, 3D existed for a while and then it went nowhere until a resurgence in technology
and then it kind of went nowhere again.
And then it went nowhere again. Like, it, you know, technology, it's not like it's doomed to or fated to succeed.
Yeah, technology, right? Like history is not a straight line.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a real chance that this is that moment, right?
Yeah.
Where the price point deters enough people that it's not a sustainable marketplace until 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
20 years, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, if anything, the fact that the Oculus was announced at $600 says to me that, okay, maybe they're kind of serious about this.
Oh, as a piece of hardware.
Yeah, exactly. Because if it was less, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know. Because
it might make people sick and they don't want to try VR anymore.
Well, and like, you know, you need kind of, I really do believe that there will be a litany of VR devices in the same way that, you know, Han and I have a Toyota Corolla and not a Tesla or a BMW. You know, I might not have an Oculus, but I might have a Gear VR. You know, like, I really believe that that is going to be the future of this type of thing, at least to get it into everyone's hands.
Yeah. Really, I don't think the Tesla VR exists yet, because that's just like a fucking pod, and it fills with like this, you have to get it naked.
A jelly?
It fills in with this like pink jelly, right? That like sort of is tactile and like touches your body. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like conducive. Yeah.
You can breathe. And you've got like a gas mask with like tubes running out of it. So when you walk into your room and your son is masturbating inside of like a tub full of
Oculus
pink jelly.
Oculus jelly. We are going to bring every nook and cranny of your body into VR.
You have never been penetrated by an immersive experience like this.
Take me, Lucky. Yeah, it's something that, again, like I'm like cautiously excited about.
Yeah.
And I'm even more excited by the time when I can actually contribute to it. Not so much even like, oh, I'm going to play these sick games. It's like, I'm going to give my grandmother a 3D tour. You know? And I think that stuff a little bit away, but
well, fuck, yeah. I didn't change the upload with the death pit and the
oh no, Grandma, don't look at the jelly pit. Grandma, all you have to do is get into this jelly.
Don't open that closet. Yeah.
All right. Well, did we solve any problems?
I don't think so.
Yeah, your check's in the mail, Lucky.
I mean, I want, you know, there's going to be like, you know, oh, you know what? I bet he's going to see a resurgence. There's MTV hit Cribs.
Oh, VR Cribs.
Cribs VR.
Virtual Cribs.
Dude, I'm not even kidding. Yeah. $15, you get a tour of like Brad and Angelina's house.
Oh,
you get walking around and in VR.
Yeah. If you're a celebrity, you could be like,
hell yes.
Here is my Italian palatial
estate. Even better,
if
you're a B celebrity, you can start, you know, making extra
Let's
bucks.
Hang out.
Get the John Stamos experience.
Oh, man. I got to get in the jelly for that one. All right, we'll leave it there.
You like an awkward background.
we'll leave it there before, and immediately before this goes up, we'll have patented VR jelly.
Well, we need VRjelly.com.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When you're listening to this, okay. VRjelly.com.
Yeah.
We'll go to experience
points. Oh, my God. Okay. Sorry. Well, until next time. Okay. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address. Any VR jelly inquiries can go straight there.
And experience points on iTunes and Stitcher. Do us a review. It helps us build our own VR marketplace.
Oh, yeah. It's our simulation.
We'll do tours, man. We can do tour guides. I mean, that's
tour the EXP studio.
It's a single room. It's just like a padded room. It's like a fucking nut house in here.
Here's the famous fire alarm that goes off. All right, everyone, until next week, thank you for listening. Talk to you later.
Ciao.